I didn't believe my ears. Mrs. Spring.
My wife, he snapped. Who the devil else would Mrs. Spring be? You don't think I'd ship my mother aboard a slaver, do you?
And with that, he strode off, leaving me shuddering and sweating. Not that I'd any qualms about slaving, mark you, from the holy, holy point of view. They could have transported every nigger in Africa to the moon in chains for all I cared, but I knew it was a damn chancy business. I, and old Morrison, that evil, rotten little toad, had known that too. So the old swine had his fingers in the blackbird pie. I'd lay my life that was a well-concealed ledger in his counting house. He had wanted me out of the way, and here was a golden chance of making sure I rotted my life away in jail, if they didn't top me. Or getting killed by niggers on the slave coast, or catching yellow jack or some foul native disease. Oh, it was the perfect ocean cruise for an unwanted son-in-law. In the circumstances, it was as well I had work to do. Going through that cargo, as I did when a couple of hands and the ship's clerk came down presently, at least kept me from working myself into a terror about the future. After all, thinks I, men like these didn't sign on in the expectation of dying. They seemed handy, sober fellows who knew their business. Very different from the usual tarry John. One of them, an oldish man named Kirk, had been a slaver all his days, and had served on the notorious Black Joke. He wouldn't have shipped on any other kind of vessel.
What? Says he. £15 a month? I'd be a fool. Do you know, I've 4,000 quid put by in Liverpool and Charleston banks. How many sailormen have the tender that? Risk? I've been impounded once, shipwrecked once, and seen two cargoes of black ivory slung overside, which meant a dead loss for the owners, but I drew my pay, didn't I? Oh, aye, I've been chased scores of times, and been yardarm to yardarm in running fights with Limey and Yankee patter rollers, but no harm done. And for sickness, you've more chance of that from some poxed-up yellow tart in Havana than on the coast these days.
And the Balliol College had never been touched by the patrols in 5 trips that he knew of, although she'd been chased times without number.
She's built light, see? Like all the Baltimore brigs and clippers, says Kirk. Save a patch of calm, she'll show her heels to anything, even steamships. Even with a full load of black cattle, she can snap her fingers at the whole navy. Only risky time is on the coast itself before we load up. If they was to catch us there with the government wind pinning us, they could impound empty and all. Because of the law, as lays down that if you're rigged for slaving, like we are, they can pinch you even without the black aboard. Used to be that even then they couldn't touch you. If you had the right papers, Greek, say, or Brasiliano, he laughed. Why, I sailed on a ship that had Yankee, Gippo, Portuguese, and even Roushoin papers all ready for inspection as might serve, but it's different now. You don't talk, you run.
He harked back a good deal to the old days, when the slave ships had waited in turn at the great African barracoons to ship their cargoes, and how the navy had spoilt the trade by bribing the native chiefs not to deal with slavers, so that all the best stretches of coast nowadays were out of court and no niggers to be had.
Mind you, says Kirk, winking, show 'em the kind of goods we got here, and they'll spring you a likely cargo of Yorubas or Mandingos, treat you or not. And Captain Spring, he's got a grand nose for a tribal war or a chief that's got too many young bucks of his own people on his hands. He's a caution, he is, and worth every penny the owner pays him. Like to guess how much?
I said I had no idea.
£20,000 a trip. There now. And you wonder I ship on a slaver.
I knew slavers made huge profits, of course, but this staggered me. No wonder old Morrison had an interest in the trade. And he wasn't laying out overmuch in trade goods by the look of this cargo. You never saw so much junk. Although just the kind of stuff to make a nigger chief happy, no doubt. There were old Brown Bess muskets, sackfuls of condemned powder and shot, rusty bayonets and cheap cutlasses and knives, mirrors and looking glasses by the dozen, feathered hats and check trousers, iron pots and plates and cauldrons, and case after case of liquor, gin, I suppose you'd call it, but even to sniff the stuff shriveled the hairs off your arse. The blacks wouldn't know the difference, of course.